Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Alan Taylor is an entrepreneur. I've been called a serial entrepreneur. I've been called a hoarder. I've been called a lot of things. But I was on a walk with my wife the other day with our little dog, hoping he would do his business outside the house. And my wife turns to me and she says, "What is the meaning of life to you?" And I went, "What?" What a huge question for my wife to ask me. And I literally had no answer. I was like, and I was like, oh my God, I should know this. This was like a moment in my life where I just was embarrassed. I felt completely naked in Walmart. I felt like I was walking around Walmart naked. I had just been asked the most important question of life by the woman who I love. I've been with for 38 years. We're both grandparents and we have lived this life. And she asked me this question and I turn and look around. I wasn't in Walmart, but that's what it felt like. And everyone was looking at me like, "You're naked." Remember when you were a little kid and you were dreaming that you went to school in your pajamas? Ever have one of those things? Yeah, that's what it felt like. I was like, "Oh my God." And I said, "Do me a favor. Let me think about this and come back to you." And she kind of giggled and said, "Okay." And we finished the walk. The dog did his business. We got back to the house and I ran. I wanted to go and find the answer. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a huge question that we really should know the answer to, you know? Anyway, I just thought I would say that at the beginning here. Our guest today may be able to help all of us find that answer. She is Bonnie Kelly. She's the founder of Rebels for Joy. And you can find her at bonniekelly.me. If you go to rebelsforjoy.com, you can see there is a 5-day Triple Your Joy Challenge. But, of course, if you're watching or listening to this in December, after some time in the beginning of January, she'll have a brand new website up and ready to go. But bonniekelly.me is where you go to begin with. Bonnie, welcome to the show. You know what I'm talking about when you just feel naked when somebody asks you a question you really should know the answer to?
Yeah, like gears in a headlight, just frozen and paralyzed, and every part of you just kind of is like shutting down because you're just, it's just like overstimulated to an extent.
You know, as an interviewer, Bonnie, I ask people questions all the time that they go, and they're like, they just don't have an answer. And I love doing that to them, just so you know, I love it. But I didn't love being on the other side of it. And I thought, oh my God, I really have to be more kind to people. You are a author and a coach. You wrote a book, True to Your Core. You're a speaker, author, and coach. You know, but let me ask you, you know, Rebels for Joy. If I said to you, you know, what is the meaning of life and what is your life all about? How would you quickly answer that?
I always say, think with the end in mind. So if you went to the very end of your life and you were like on your deathbed and you kind of turned back and you're looking, what brought you the most joy? What did you regret? And what did you wish you did more of? And that to me is your answer.
Mm. And it's good. And I have a dad who's 91 and a mom who's 88. And as I can actually see the other side of my life, because I have grandchildren, so I see new birth and brand new babies of innocence, and it brings me an incredible amount of joy. And I see my parents on the other side of that bell-shaped curve, and I go, oh, wow, that looks like it's not so good. You know, because, God, did I do what God wanted me to do in my life? Yeah. Did I fulfill my purpose? What is my true purpose? And, you know, wow, all these questions. People, let's talk about this for a little bit. This is important.
Yeah, those are hefty questions.
Right?
And they require a hefty amount of answering, right? Like to really sit and reflect back. I mean, I love that we're coming up right on 2020. And, you know, to me, it's like, okay, that's the end of a decade. It's a great opportunity for us to kind of sit back and really reflect not only on what our successes were, but where were we holding ourselves back? Where did we stand in our own way? And are we going to allow that to emerge and to show up in this next decade, you know, from 2020 to 2030? I think it's just, you know, a powerful reflection reflection tool to really ask yourself, you know, am I on purpose? You know, do I feel fulfilled? Is my life filled with joy? And, you know, the reason why we say Rebels for Joy is because you know what the world needs more of? Joy. And we're the ambassadors of that.
Love it. Love it. Founder of Rebels for Joy, Bonnie Kelly, B-O-N-N-I-E, Kelly.me. And you can find out more. You can see her book, True to Your Core. We're going to ask her a lot of questions about that and how all this is relative to entrepreneurs, because this is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back with more.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, if you're driving down the road in your car and you're listening to this radio, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, part of Entrepreneur Magazine. You can find our magazine at newsstands everywhere. We hope that you'll join us in this entrepreneurial journey that we are taking. And it might be exactly what you need to find your joy. And we're talking to Bonnie Kelly. She is the founder of Rebels for Joy. So, Bonnie, I think, you know, how does this work in the world that you're in this finding joy for entrepreneurs? And I see here that with all the works that you do, that you work mostly with women entrepreneurs, but it's very relative to men and women. That's the beauty of radio. You just shotgun it out there and you never know who's going to get the message. But talk to a little bit, finding our joy when we're an entrepreneur. How can you help us?
Yeah. Well, the number one way that we rob ourselves of joy is through the cycle of sabotage. And that's really what I specialize in, is helping entrepreneurs connect the dots with how they are participating in lack. So whether it's they're lacking the right finances, clients, whether they're just not connecting the dots to the brand, the narrative, their niche, or the messaging isn't coming across, and really connecting not necessarily with any of that. There are experts out there that are going to teach you all of that awesome stuff that is necessary for us to really make sure that we are, our business is positioned in a way that is giving us the most fluid results. But if we aren't clear, then we will hinder those efforts substantially.
Right. There's the self-sabotage.
Yeah.
It seems to me like you're on a mission to help entrepreneurs drive better results with this coaching and stuff that you do. When you coach entrepreneurs, is that where you start? You say to them, all right, let's find out where you're sabotaging yourself. Eliminate that stuff in order to make the journey a little bit easier.
Always. Yeah. I always jokingly say it's an inside job. Every great bank heist always had an inside man, because you need to have the inside scoop, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying go rob the bank, but what I am saying is that, you know, we have to take a look on the inside to figure out how we are maybe hindering or participating in the results that we don't want. And we are the number one key component of that. And when we really kind of take a look under the hood, you're going to find that it's a lot of our past conditioning, a lot of these insecurities that we're not connected with, a lot of programming that is kind of playing out automatically without even us being aware of. And it's just repeatedly taking us down the cycle of self-sabotage.
How did you come about all this? Where did the journey start?
Well, I would say like where most people should is right where I was the biggest saboteur in my own life. I have a very interesting background. I came from very humble upbringings where I've had a lot of trauma in my past. So a lot of physical, mental, emotional, and sexual trauma growing up. I was a homeless teen. I was addicted to drugs, in and out of jail, in and out of rehab.
Wow.
That's a big truth bomb right there, right?
Boom. I'm telling you. Wow. That takes courage for you to even say that.
Yeah.
That's wild. And you would never, ever imagine. And the problem is most of these people that teach this kind of stuff, and I shouldn't say most, that's a big broad brush, but many of the people that teach stuff like this have gone to school and learned it. You have lived it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a painful reality. You know, I actually talk about this story when I first came out to California to meet my real father. I grew up in Michigan. And up until that point, you know, I was a victim of my past, right? And I had moved from state to state. I was running, kind of looking for solutions, not recognizing that I was the pivotal point of the problem, right? Mm. And a part of it was just the conditioning, right? I've had grew up in these environments that really foster these ideas of worthlessness and not being enough and being less than and never amounting to anything. All these ideas that really are the seeds to sabotage. Well, when I came out, my real father, I got to connect and meet with him. And I remember that he handed me a book, and it was Dr. Wayne Dyer's Power of Intention. And inside of it, there was some, he said some variation of this quote. And it was that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And that's really what sparked the internal emotional revolution within me, recognizing that pain, right, that hardship, the hurts that we all experience, that's inevitable. It's going to happen in life. But suffering, that part was optional. And at that point, I hadn't had that realization. I hadn't had that awareness. And so all I kept continuing to perpetuate suffering by dragging a lot of these stories, a lot of these limitations that I had been conditioned with into career, into self, into relationships, into my fitness.
Hold on. This is good stuff. And I got to take a little break here. The podcast world doesn't have to do commercials, but on broadcast radio, we do. Wow. Bonnie Kelly.me dropped a big truth bomb. And I'm looking at the pictures of her. Bonnie Kelly.me, go look. She looks like such Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. In and out of jail and drugs. What? We'll talk more on the other side. It's Entrepreneur Week.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Talking with Bonnie Kelly. BonnieKelly.me. She's the author, speaker, coach, and founder of Rebels for Joy. She wrote a book, True to Your Core. I just got to ask you, I'm looking at your website here. And strengthen your mind, F you. What is that? What could that be, Bonnie? Oh, my gosh.
It's one word. It's mind foo. And mind foo is a made-up word that we call it kung fu for the mind.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, strengthen your mind, F you. I'm going to have to find out about this one. Oh, it's mind foo. Okay, gotcha. Like kung fu. All right. Yes. Okay, so that's pretty funny. Okay, so how do you go about helping people then? Let's do us a favor. Walk us through... Kind of like, you know, we make the phone call or we send an email in and we want some coaching.
Yeah.
Do you only coach women or will you help coach men too? Just curious.
Oh, no. I've coached a lot of men too. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've been doing this for years and helped thousands of people to be more productive. So this is a good thing. Phone rings, you pick it up. And I'm like, Bonnie, my name's Alan Taylor. My wife asked me the meaning of life. I don't know. Help me, Bonnie. What do you do for people?
Well, we usually ask, you know, the biggest thing is to really connect the dots to where your biggest limitations are, right? So when I was even asking about, like, looking in your last 10 years reflection or last year, looking back in your life as a reflection, is really asking yourself, like, where have you held yourself back? Where have you limited yourself? Or where is the pain point still? These are usually the breadcrumbs that are going to lead us to really discovering the root or, you know, what we call the root source of a lot of the cycle of self-sabotage. And it takes a little investigation. So we're going to ask a lot of good pointed questions and helping to figure out, okay, like, well, where are you hindered and why? And what is the purpose that serves and how does it show up? And how is that continuing to play out? Where else have you seen that in your life? Is this a pattern? Is it a cycle? So we ask a tremendous amount of questions, not so back to back where you feel overwhelmed like that. But we ask a lot of questions to help really start to get a good picture. I need you to paint me a picture. And then we start to recognize that there's a lot of patterns. Those breadcrumbs are always present. And then we get right to the root. Like, what is at the heart of it? And in my book, True to Your Core, I actually talk about the 10 most common root causes for our self-sabotage, right? These are the deep-seated programs that exist in our subconscious mind without even us being aware of it. some of the biggest is this idea that you're not enough, this idea that you're not capable, that you're not smart enough, that you're not worthy, that you don't deserve, and just to name a few. And then these really start to develop these masks that we wear, right? So we overcompensate through our work, or we start associating our worth with, you know, our net worth versus really who we are and what brings us genuine joy.
Right.
And then we find that we're very distant from ourselves.
Well, I was going to say, because it's interesting how we find our true value. Most of us have really never looked. They look around their life and they take inventory of the things they have. My kids actually have called me hoarder. They said, "Dad, you're a hoarder." And I'm like, "Why do you say that? Look at all the stuff you have. You hoard stuff, Dad." And of course, you know, I have, my kids are, you know, 30 years old. So I believe me, these are like adults. And I'm like, I mean, they are adults. What do you mean? The point is that I feel like, oh my God, you know, I've been doing this to myself for so long that I did for so many years. When I went through a tough spell, I didn't have anything. So I started making sure that I had lots of things. But things are not love and things are not joy. Sometimes they can give you some joy. But the point is that, you know, now when I see my grandchildren, that gives me joy. And I don't need all my things, because I found my true joy is loving my family and having a greater understanding of life itself. But man, there's a part of our lives that we hoard stuff to ourselves and we think that is success, and it isn't.
Well, that's the way society is built. Unfortunately, you know, we've got this very disillusioned version of this idea of success, and we think it's the car and the house and the money, and those things are great. And I mean, I think everyone should have ambitions and goals, and I'm no different than that. And at the end of the day, though, are we getting those things because we feel we need to feel loved and approved of, to feel that we're worthy or not? Or are we going after those things from a space where it's balanced, where we can put our, you know, put up our hat, to hang it on the hook when we come in the door, to be fully present in this next, you know, and with our children or our grandchildren or our family or our spouses, and allowing that version of ourselves to come out as well. But typically what will happen is we'll get a lot of recognition in business and our egos kind of get inflated. We find purpose. All of a sudden we're somebody, we're valued, we're valuable. And a lot of other things will fall to the wayside. And this is just one flavor of the self-sabotage here that I'm talking about now. I mean, I always say that self-sabotage is like Baskin Robbins. There's like 32 different flavors that you can choose from.
It's very
and not to mention all the flavor combinations.
I know, right? Right. And then you can put hot fudge and whipped cream, and yeah, believe
That's
me,
it.
I get it. So here's what I'm gonna do. I realize it is very complicated, the process, but I love the fact that you called your company Rebels for Joy, because when you're an entrepreneur, it's all about making money and getting to the top. But man, so many of us, we also seek joy. And that's kind of where the journey started for many people is, I'm seeking joy and I'm not happy where I am right now. Maybe being an entrepreneur is my answer. So I think that, you know, you have a great message. I want to send people to your site, BonnieKelly.me. You can check out her book and all the other stuff that she's doing. True to Your Core is her book. Bonnie, thank you.
Yeah, it's been my honor.
All right. I'm going to take a break and we'll have another guest right here on Entrepreneur Weekly. We're going to try and help hold a lamp onto your feet on the journey. Can I just make some more romance with you?
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I did a show with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. That's him singing right there.
But my head's in Mississippi.
I love ZZ Top. I drove by my buddy's house the other night in Beverly Hills, and I thought, oh, I wonder if Billy's home. There's a big gate around his house, so but when you live in Beverly Hills or up above Sunset, you have to have a big gate. I love the music on this show. I love to play the music. Our next guest is a young guy. His name is Jordan Paris. He is 22 years old. He's an author. He's a podcast host. He's an entrepreneur that has been featured on Forbes, Men's Health, Yahoo Finance, Market Watch, NASDAQ, and now on Entrepreneur Weekly. And he's joining us right now. Jordan Paris, how you doing, man?
Alan, thank you so much. It is my absolute pleasure to be here with you today. Well, I enjoyed the music.
When you know the person that's singing, it changes everything. And I did a show with the Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top for a year. It was called Monster Radio. The funnest year of my life, I got to tell you. I met the craziest people. It was just, I went to dinner one night with him and some guy named Jimmy. I didn't know who Jimmy was. I didn't care. I'm with the rock star Billy Gibbons. We go to eat dinner, you know, dinner after dinner, we go down to a place, to a bar to have a drink. I don't drink, so I'm having root beer. They're having beers. And Billy gets up to go pee, and I look at this guy, Jimmy. I go, so what do you do, Jimmy? He says, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no. I said, but you don't know who I am, so be careful. He says, well, have you ever heard of Led Zeppelin? And I said, yeah. I go, it's a band. He goes, no, but it's my band. It was Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. So, I mean, that's when you're hanging out with rock stars, they hang out with other rock stars, yeah. You know. But the fun part was not knowing anything about the guy and just having a, you know, one-on-one conversation like two dudes, you know?
Yeah, not putting him on a pedestal. I can relate in, you know, just knowing who's, you know, singing the song. And I have interviewed a couple of musicians. I remember I used to listen to, I was like 10 years old, listening to Kevin Rudolph. He had that song in 2008 when I was listening to it called Let It Rock. And I would always listen to it. And he had an album a couple of years later. And I would listen to it on the bus on the way to school. And now I still listen to his music all the time. But now I'm friends with him, and it's like, and I've interviewed him.
Right,
changes
everything.
It's cool. Every time I hear the song, I'm like, that's my guy. That's Kevin. I love, you know, being with other people, and like, and I'm like, you know, Kevin, right? And like, yeah, I love this song. I'm like, that's my guy.
That's too funny. Now let me ask you here. You're 22 years old. I have four children, 30 to 20. I look at my kids and I think, you know what? I can't imagine my kids doing the crazy stuff that you must have had to have done already in your life to be, you know, this guy that you are. Growth Mindset University is ranked number 6 in the podcast world on Apple's self-improvement category, number 3 in the training category, number 5 in the how-to category, in education, one of Apple's most competitive categories. The show is ranked number 15. That's freaking crazy. And you have now a Amazon number 1 best-selling author of a book called The Podcast Playbook. So what I want you to do is tell me how the hell to get to where you are. See, that's funny, right? It's like, that is too much. You're 22. I'm like going on 60, and you have caught lightning in a bottle, Jordan.
Yeah, lightning in a bottle. But might I assert too that, you know, you say, oh, it must have been crazy to get to where you are. But look, my story is so common that it's just like almost boring. You know, like, you know, I didn't have the greatest high school experience, and you know, I had this job in high school. I was working at a restaurant, and once I got out of there after a couple of years, I said, never again. Never will I work for anyone ever again. And I went on this entrepreneurial journey trying a bunch of different things. I was a personal trainer within home clients for a little while. And then I started doing websites, and then I started a podcast, and then I wrote this book, and then it all just evolved from there. And now I have a marketing and production agency for serious podcasters, and I help podcasters, and it's a lot of fun. You know, I've just consistently chosen to stay in and work. I'm an introvert, so it works for me. Like, the allure of the party doesn't really, whenever I would go to a party, you know, 'cause I'm college age, but whenever I would go to a college party or a bar, like it was always forced. And after a certain amount of time, I was like, this is like, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because my friends are doing it and other people want me to do it and other people do it. And I'm just conforming here. I'm just doing it 'cause I think I have to. And so I can't even tell you the last time. It's been well over a year since I've been to a bar or a college party. It's been, I mean, which for me being 22 is a long time because my friends are all still doing that.
Right.
So it's consistently on Friday and Saturday night included. I'm in here putting in the work on the computer, just, and it's fun to me.
All right. Let me ask you something. Hold still. So I'm listening to you, and I literally am I'm hearing myself, because I didn't want to do any of that stuff either. I wanted to work. I wanted to get ahead. I remember I had the same kind of a thing. I had a job. My job was delivering flowers. My first job, I was 16 years old. All I wanted to do, as soon as I got my driver's license, I just wanted to drive. I thought, flower delivery boy, lots of pretty girls and flowers. First thing I did was deliver, 300 sets of flowers to 300, 100-year-old ladies. And then when I finally found myself at a church with an open casket, and the casket was up on the stage, and the church was all dark except there was a spotlight on the casket, and I took this giant wreath up there, set it on the top of the casket, and I look over and I see there's an old dead lady there, and in my mind's eye, she opened her eyes and she grabbed my arm, and I ran like hell, Jordan. I ran. I left the truck sitting there running, and I ran all the way home. And I thought, I will never work for anybody. I am going to be an entrepreneur. I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. I just thought, I will never work for anybody. I want to be my own boss. That's all I knew. And the same thing about going to parties and all. I just didn't want to. When my buddies were partying, I was working, and I feel like, there's some similarities here. And I saw that when I was doing a little checking out, but you're 22 years old. I love this about you. You're talking like you're 50, you're 55 years old, but you're 22. I'm going to have to come over there and shake you and say, go back to being a kid. Maybe not. We'll talk more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Talking to Jordan Paris. Check him out at jordanparis.com. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Week.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Another great ZZ Top song. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. I talk about an entrepreneur, Billy Gibbons. The guy singing in the background, there's an entrepreneur. They call him the Reverend. He's an amazing human being. Jordan Paris, 22 years old, author, podcast host, entrepreneur, been featured all over the place. But he's on fire. Number one best-selling author of The Podcast Playbook. If you've been wondering about podcasts, maybe you check out jordanparis.com. And you can listen to his podcast, Growth Mindset University. It's ranked way up high. You know what's funny, Jordan? Forgive me. On the way out, I said, go back to being a kid. The reality is I am still a kid. I'm going to be 60 years old. I am still a kid. I love life. I play. I play with people. I don't feel 60 years old. My wife looked at me the other day and she goes, isn't that weird? You're going to be 60. And I went, I know. And I got to tell you, I feel like, first of all, I could hang with you very easily just by the way you're talking, because I go, that guy talks my language. You're part of my tribe. I'm part of your tribe. But so let's get down to business now. People in business, entrepreneurs, they think, because you talked a little bit about peer pressure, everybody's doing this and everybody's doing that and everybody thinks we should go this way and, drinking and partying and all that. But you know what? It's those that refrain from the peer pressure, from doing the same thing that everybody else does, that are the ones that rise to the top. You must have some kind of secret sauce. I called it lightning in a bottle. But to be able to be where you're at such a young age, it means that you had to have done it incredibly fast. But I don't hear this motivational speaker guy that sounds more like me.
No.
You know, you sound more like a regular, young, cool guy that I would like to have, maybe painting my house or something. I don't know. But I mean, look at you. You're running with the big dogs.
I'm not available for hire to paint your house. Let me just put that out there.
I like to get to know the people that are working on my house, my property, my building, whatever. And I like to think that they're on the same journey that I am. And then I feel connected to them because I'm a worker. I'm that guy like you I was always the worker when everybody else was partying. I had never been to a concert in my life. I had to tell my friend Billy Gibbons. He says, what's your favorite music? I said, well, I always liked your music, but I've never been to a concert. And he looked at me like I had, two heads. He goes, you've never been to a concert?
Yeah, me too.
You know? So people look at me like, I have to imagine being 22 years old. Do you ever get dinged for being so young? And what does that feel like?
I really don't. You know, I've gotten this question a couple of times, and it's very surprising that no, I've not gotten dinged for being my age. And now, I mean, I started this journey when I was, you know, 18, and now I'm 22. Now I'm old. No, I don't.
I love it. Do us a favor. Tell us about Growth Mindset University, your podcast. What do you do there?
Yeah, I interview my heroes. And I think that the curiosity really makes the show. I mean, I've been told that before. And because I just interview my heroes, people that I really look up to. And I only interview people that I'm absolutely thirsting for knowledge from. You know, other people do a podcast just for production sake, right? It's not fun that way. And it's just average. Like, people can tell when your heart's not in it. And my heart is just so in it. And I've really worked on this skill of interviewing and over time, and, you know, now approaching 200 episodes, and, you know, including with people like, you know, some of my heroes, like Dan Millman, who wrote Way of the Peaceful Warrior, one of my favorite books. I'm actually looking at it right now. Another one on that shelf that I'm looking at, Mark Manson's The Subtle Art of Grant Cardone. I'm looking at his book right now. Billionaires, New York Times bestselling author, you know, James Altucher, someone, he's probably like right now, he's been like my number one hero for 2019. And it's just cool that I know him. And he's, you know, I'm looking at my new book coming out, the Podcast Playbook, and I'm looking at his endorsement right here on the front cover. And just love that guy. I love that guy. So
let me ask you.
It's been a lot of fun, the journey here at Growth Mindset University.
I absolutely love it. And after being on the radio for 30 years myself, I understand. I've been through all the things you described about some people that have to do it because it's the job. And what I want to ask you, and I have to take another break here when we come back, is what do all these people, what is the common thread that you feel like that you can sow into your life to make you the guy that you are and are becoming more each day? Because you are definitely, I mean, I can hear it in your voice. You are not trying to sell anything. You are on a journey. You're still trying to learn yourself. I always feel like that I am trying to do that exact same thing. I want to learn every single day of my life. I feel like if I'm not learning, I am dying. Take a little break. JordanParis.com. I'm interviewing one of my heroes right now. That's how it works for me. Be right back. You can try to wipe the memories aside, but it's you that you are.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget to pick up an issue of our magazine on newsstands everywhere, Entrepreneur Magazine. Check out entrepreneur.com for many more versions of this show and a lot of other great podcasts. Matter of fact, I will try and hook you up, Jordan Paris joining us. His podcast is Growth Mindset University. And I think the one thing I can say about meeting you now on the air like this, we have never spoken before this. I thought 22-year-old doing all this, what's this guy got to be like? Is he one of those, hey there, hi there, oh there? No, Jordan, you're totally authentically you. And that to me is very attractive to my ears because I hate being sold by that guy on the infomercials that is just yabbity, 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 yabbity. I'm like, shut up. I turn the channel immediately. And I think to myself, holy crap, I sound like that guy. No, I hope not. Anyway, but I don't want to sound like, I want to be authentic to who I am. And of course, being a radio jock, you get taught things and you got to unlearn them. In your case, at 22, doing what you've done, author, number one, Amazon, number one bestselling author, the podcast playbook. I got to get a copy of this. You have to be who you are. You haven't had time to unlearn and relearn because you're just still at the beginnings of what you're doing. And I can't even imagine where you're going to go in the next 22 years, of which you're still going to be, you're a third of my age, for goodness sakes. It's my God. I just want to know what you want your message to be here today.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, you mentioned before we went to break, actually, you know, last segment that, you know, what's the through line here with all of these people that I've interviewed? And it's actually with what you're talking about right now, it'll make a lot of sense because, I mean, hey, like, I just have a lot of fun. Like, I am loving, I am fun, I'm kind. It's like kindness is like a game for me. Like, I just try to be like really, really kind, you know? And that's just like, I don't know. I just do what I want when I'm out. I'm not like scared of like conform. Like I'm just like so me. I'm the curious, fun, loving guy. You know what I mean? And that's what a lot of these successful people are.
I was going to say, what is the one common thread? Because I did ask that. I forgot about that. What is that? Is it just that they are authentically enjoying what they are and who they are?
That's one third of it, Alan. That's one third.
Okay.
So this is how I've designed my life. I've designed my life around having a lot of fun, helping a lot of people, and making a lot of money. If something doesn't fit at least one or two of these three criteria, like, I don't do it. And the goal is to have all three of these criteria be aligned in everything that I do. And it's been a multi-year process making everything I do align, or most of what I do at least, align with these criteria. I mean, because sometimes you got to do things you don't want to do. But, you know, a lot of these really successful people that I'm interviewing, I can't think of one that doesn't align all three of these things in what they do. It seems to be the recipe.
Yep.
And I'm following it.
What are you most proud of to date?
That's a good question. Well, I'm giving I don't know that it's what I'm most proud of, but it's what I'm most excited for. I'm giving a TED talk on why college can be, in some cases, a waste of time. And also in some cases can be a huge financial scam. And I'm giving that talk in March of 2020. And this has been like again, another multi-year process where I've just been trying so hard to get a TEDx talk.
Right.
And finally have received the opportunity. I was actually going through my email inbox the other day, looking at all the rejection letters that I had received over the years. And I was like, oh, wow. and it's cool to see now, compare it, put it side by side with the acceptance email.
Let me tell you,
so I'm really excited about that.
It's funny because when you ask a young guy what he's most proud of, it's like, I know you had to really pause for a minute. And because, you know, it's like, if you ask me the same thing, I look at my life almost 60 years, that's my next birthday. And I look back now and I go, it isn't a damn thing that I have done that made me money. It isn't a damn thing that I own. It's that I have good children and a loving wife and a loving family, and that I now have grandchildren, and I am so proud of my family. And it's all that I just stayed the course and I was authentic to who I am. And I hope that you stay that way too, Jordan Paris. I want to now listen and read and follow you. JordanParis.com. That's it for me this week. See you next time right here on Entrepreneur Week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.